94. 94 bottles of ginger ale on the wall.
Yeah, we have 6 weeks left.
Yeah.
Did you get me my...
We're coming up on 2 years.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. Yeah. Did you see my post about the average podcast last 10 episodes or less?
I saw that. I didn't realize that.
That's facts. I mean, it's insane.
That is insane. And we're still around.
I mean, I don't know if people really want us still around, but we're still
here. I was going to say, there's still a couple of people who tune in, which is even better. I'll take it. I like it.
Well, Grace, it's winter time. We've gotten some snow and things like that. It's cold out. It's nasty. So what I have for you are some wintertime jokes.
Oh, I'll take it. Let's do wintertime jokes.
All right. What's a Mexican dish that snowmen like?
I don't know that.
Burrito.
That was great. Good job. Good on the execution.
But I got more. There's more.
Okay.
Who is Frosty's favorite aunt?
I don't know that.
Antarctica.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's great.
All right. One more. The best one. This is the best one. What does a gingerbread put on his bed? What does a gingerbread man put on his bed?
I don't know.
A cookie sheet.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a good one. Come on.
Where are you?
I'm in a hotel in Huntington because I've been running on the Standing Stone Trail.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I have days that I need to burn up before the end of the year, so I'm burning them up.
Nice.
And it's fun to get on some stuff I've never been on before. Tomorrow is, I think I'm going to 1,000 steps.
Okay.
Sweet. Like you did that a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I guess you came down them, right?
I went down 1,000 steps, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go up and then go a ways out and then come back.
Nice. That'll be super fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah.
Should we start this 94 show?
Let's do it. Start episode 94.
All right, Grace, listen up. At the center of attention today, we've got race director Kim Levinsky. She knows how to put on a trail party. She has a wealth of knowledge about mental health and bigger than the trail. Let's explore everything and more on episode 94.
Yeah. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Here we are.
Okay. So I want to bring in Kim pretty quick because we have a lot to talk about. But really quick, what did you do over the weekend, Eric?
Let's see. This weekend, Saturday was the last day of deer season, so I went up on the mountain with a friend. And then Sunday, I got snotty. I ran the frozen snot course.
Ooh, super fun. What else did you do Sunday?
Am I supposed to know this?
You did something to your leg.
Oh, yeah. The tattoo. Duh. Yeah,
it's upside down. I got the little run. What's his name? Like the run.
We need a name for him.
Yeah.
Maybe some people can give us some ideas for names for the running mullet dude.
For a running mullet dude. The mullet guy.
Yeah. So he's on my calf. And
looks great.
I went with the left calf because Adam Kolb had said, well, if you put on the right calf, then he's just looking at your left leg because the way the direction is. So now he can look out into the woods as I'm on the trails.
Nice. That's good point.
It made perfect sense. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. Frozen snot course is still very hard.
Yeah, that hasn't changed.
No. Yeah, how about you? What'd you do?
Had a race, Dallastown Wildcat 10K on Saturday, and went well. Record registration, which was awesome. Nobody got injured. Nobody got lost. So that's a winning race right there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. And I have to say this too. We had Hot Shots come out. So I was pretty excited about that. Ben Lynn and Andrew Simpson came to my little tiny road race 10K, and Ben Lynn threw down a 33-minute 10K with 680 feet of gain. And Andrew Simpson was right behind him in 34 minutes. It was ridiculous how fast these guys went.
Yeah, and that's a good word for it.
It was pretty awesome. But I'm not sure. Andrew did. There's a 1 miler that we have a lot of kids sign up for. So we have a lot of kids do the 1 miler. Adults do it too. And it's kind of a nice warm up. And then you do the 10K. So Andrew took his son for the 1 miler. And he said his son cried the entire time. So I think the toddler, toddler pace is a really good warm up for a fast 10K. That's my theory.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you have a 3-year-old and you warm up with them, you're probably going to place top 3.
Maybe we should test this out on other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a really good time. It went well. Jeff dressed up as Santa. Jared, you know Jared, because he came up for Idiot Race 2. He dressed up as the Grinch. And he was my lead bike on a mini bike, a vintage mini bike.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good event.
Yeah. So we'll bring on Kim. And, we talked, you mentioned this last week. We did lose a member of the trail community. And that is always hard. And I think... there's a lot of thoughts and lots of emotions to go through when something like this happens. And one of the things that you think about is, what can you do for other people who might be hurting out there and might need some help? And I thought of the nonprofit Bigger Than the Trail. I know that Kim Levinsky is one of their ambassadors. So I asked if she might be able to come on. And we always like to keep our episodes, we go deep a little bit. We go deep. But we also like to keep most of them lighthearted. So it's a great opportunity. We'll also talk to Kim about some of the races that she has lined up for the next year because they are awesome. But we did want to talk about Bigger Than the Trail because it is a great resource. And if there's anybody out there who needs a little bit of support, a little bit of help, then we did want to talk about that. So we lost James Miller last week. And that's been hard. Been a lot of people talking on it and leaning on each other, and that's the right thing to do right now. So Kim Levinsky is awesome, and she's a race director, and
she does
really cool stuff too. Kim, you're on the show.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. This is fun.
Oh, man. I'm so excited to finally have you on the show. I went on your show, and
yes.
Finally get to have you on, under circumstances where I think you can bring some good resources to folks,
Totally. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about you guys. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to mention this. Eric, do you know about Kim's FKTs? She's the Long Path FKT.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nice. 300 and what? How many miles?
358 on paper, though I finished a little bit more than that, but it's all the same.
When did you do that? How long has it been standing?
It went down last summer in July 23.
Nice.
Yeah. So Kim does FKT, she racetracks, she runs. You host trail parties, I should say, not races, but trail parties. So you were a trail party director. And just all around awesome person.
Yeah. And Grace was at our inaugural Wild Goose 100 in 23, where I don't even know how you describe that weather. It was apocalyptic. It was actually like the weather I had on the Long Path FKT. It was insane. And Grace did incredible out there. She was one of our golden hour finishes and amazing. It was awe-inspiring to watch you finish. It was incredible.
Oh my gosh. That was wild. Every time I'm in a race or just like a training run and it's raining a little bit and it's only a 5 mile, I'm like, this is fine. It's totally
it's no big
fine.
Deal.
I did this for 36 hours. I can
exactly.
Oh my gosh. So you're based out of New Jersey, yeah?
Yeah, I'm in Vernon, New Jersey, so the very top of the state. If you've heard of Mountain Creek, or for maybe people who grew up in the 80s, if you've heard of Action Park, that is the town that I live in, the old theme park that was deadly. So it's kind of its claim to fame.
Oh, super fun.
Yeah, there's a people know it from, there's a documentary that came out a year or two ago about Action Park, but... That's where I live. Yeah. So I'm right on the border of New York State. So you could drive 10 minutes down the road and you're in New York.
Nice. Yeah. So I think that you get quite a few runners. I mean, from all over the place, but quite a few from Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, even down Maryland way. It's kind of a nice central area for anybody who's interested in a local-ish race. And trail party, I should say, trail parties, and of all different distances too, which is very, very cool. So I do want to talk kind of first about your partnership with Bigger Than the Trail. So, you're an ambassador for Bigger Than the Trail. I think that's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about it and like what it is and how it helps and how people can reach out?
Yeah, Bigger Than Trail, they're a nonprofit organization that basically provides funding for people to get access to therapy cost-free. So you do not have to pay for therapy if you take advantage of their services. And it is not limited to just runners or trail runners. So anybody can get plugged in with therapy through the organization, which is amazing. They just happen to use trail running as their platform to raise those funds. So, yeah, Sasquad, we partner with them for several of our events and give people the opportunity to donate during registration. And this past year, just last month, we launched a charity bid program for some of our events that sell out. And it's a win-win because people, they want to find a way to get in the race. And then usually when they hear about the cause, they're really excited and raise well above the minimum for the bib. So that's been successful. So we're going to do that with a few other of our races that sell out. But yeah, Bigger Than the Trail, it's awesome. It changed my life. I first got plugged in with therapy through Bigger Than the Trail because I had every excuse possible about like, oh, I don't want to pay for it or insurance or traveling or whatever. And then Bigger Than the Trail just took all those barriers out of the way. So I got plugged in with therapy and it changed my life in 2021. So just working to give back that opportunity to other people who might need it.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to ask you if you knew somebody who had a success story, and that's great to hear that you did.
Yeah, it was right before Tahoe 200. And I just went years and years and years of using ultra running as therapy. That's what I would always say. Oh, well, running's my therapy. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of other people, that works until it doesn't work. I mean, you could look at my running resume. I've run very long distances and it's not therapy at the end of the day. So it wasn't until I got plugged in with an actual licensed therapist that things started to change in my life. So I'm very, very thankful for what Bigger Than the Trail did for me.
That's awesome. And I think it's, you know, word choice is important. And I made a comment the other day and I said, oh, the comment that I made was movement is therapeutic, which I think is accurate. I think movement is therapeutic. Trail running, running, hiking, being outdoors is therapeutic. I think that's all true, but it's still not therapy. It's not working. It's not doing the work yet. Yeah. And,
totally.
It's really great that there's an organization out there that you know you can rely on. You know, there's some people who can use their workplace perhaps to get access to that help. But if nothing else, there's at least bigger than the trail.
Yeah. And what's also unique is it's almost immediate, the access that you get. So a lot of, I know I've talked to a lot of people who they might be on a waiting list, you know, if they're trying to get therapy through their insurance or whatnot. And so with Bigger Than the Trail, the online platforms that they use, it's pretty much immediate. I remember when I signed up, it was like the next day I was setting up an appointment to start therapy. So that's pretty awesome.
It's definitely worth noting that it's not just for, you don't have to be a runner to.
Yes. Part yes. Of it too. Yep. Yeah. There's no screening. Like how many miles a week do you run? There's right. Nothing like that. It's just collecting basic info and just, you know, at the end of the day, it's just to get people help. So that's, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good point too, because all of us have non-running people in our lives too.
Yes.
You know, we do have at least a couple of people in our lives who don't actually spend all their time outside. But and so that's great to know, hey, we have this resource that we know about and we can refer friends, family over. Now, is the therapy strictly online or is it online or in person? It's all online?
It is all online. Yeah. The platforms that they use are online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it does make it more accessible too. I mean, that was a big barrier for me. I mean, I had a lot of people assume I'm super extroverted, but I'm very introverted. And the thought of like going into an office and talking with a complete stranger is a little bit scary. Whereas if I could sit on my laptop with my cat on my lap, that's going to be a little bit easier for me.
So. Yeah. And we know from even like this platform that we get very close. We feel like we're right next to each other, even even through this platform. I feel like I am right next to Eric every single Monday.
Wait, if you move this way, you can get closer.
Wait, but
yeah. I mean, like you said, I think. You know, running thing, we all know a lot of friends that use running as a form of therapy, like you said, and it's helped them immensely. But it is nice to put this out there knowing there's you can take it farther. Like you said, like it is therapy, but it doesn't fix everything. So it's just nice knowing these things are out there to
take that next step. Totally. Because, you know, what happens when you get injured and if, you know, therapy is all you've got is running and then you're in trouble. You know, if you come up on an injury and you're not able to get out to do your therapy. So definitely a little bit of a difference between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you limited on the number of sessions or is there like a session per month or like how does the frequency work?
Yeah. On their website, they outline, there's basically two routes you can go depending on the platform. So I don't have it in front of me. I'd have to reference it, but I believe with the platform BetterHelp, you get X amount of sessions. And then with the other one, you get X amount of sessions. But then I'm pretty sure that they also offer a discounted rate for therapy after you use up those sessions. So that also is a huge help because I remember that's what I ended up doing. Cause at the time years ago, I didn't have health insurance. I do now, but I didn't at the time. So I was using the Bigger Than the Trail sessions. And then when they ended, I was able to stay in therapy because the sessions were so discounted through Bigger Than the Trail. So that was a really huge help to have that opportunity afterwards.
Nice. All right. And how would people, there might be some people out there who are really interested in donating to Bigger Than the Trail or like engaging with Bigger Than Trail. How do they do that?
Yeah. On their website, the website's a little unique. It's the abbreviation. So it's BTTT.RUN, run. So Bigger Than the Trail.RUN. And then there's links all over the website on how you can donate. If you're involved with SAS Squad, we've got the donation pages on our website, and then the races where we support them, there's donation links there and the charity bid program. But it's very easy to make the donation online. And if you have friends that are raising funds for them, a lot of them have set up individual fundraising pages, so you can donate specifically to those fundraisers that people, those fundraising campaigns that people are doing.
Okay, nice. All right. And then do they have, like, you got into the ambassador thing. Is that something you had to apply for?
Yeah, they actually, the ambassador application is open right now. I think it's open for another few days if you're interested in doing that. But there's a link on the website where you can apply to be an ambassador. It's just a, it's a very simple Google form. But basically what they're looking for is people who are passionate about mental health and the crossover with trail running. And then you're committing to doing some form of fundraiser during the year and just really just being an advocate. So when you come across people who, you know, maybe they could benefit from the services of Bigger Than the Trail, you're just saying, hey, I got something that, you know, you could get plugged in with. So I've been doing that the last couple of years, and I've gotten to know the directors of the organization pretty well. They're just really, really good guys, and they're just working really hard to grow the funding, because that's a really big part of it. Is like it's been amazing how much it's grown, where people are getting plugged in. Like, okay, we're doing the therapy, but that means there also has to be money that's going back into Bigger Than the Trail. So that's why I just get really excited about trying to raise funds for them, because you just know it's going right back into the organization. Yep. To help people get help.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about you guys? Where are you guys at with mental health and your journeys? Or do we go deep in this? Do we go deep in this podcast? Go deep.
That's a big question.
That is a big question.
Eric, you answer.
No, you. No, I mean, I've never done anything like what we're talking about myself. Mm-hmm. I guess, I don't know. I wouldn't mind talking to somebody, I guess. I don't see why that would hurt anything about, I don't know. That's a big question.
Yeah. It is a big question.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just asked that. How about that?
No, that's good. That's good.
I like it. Yeah. Where am I right now? This weekend was hard. I had a hard weekend. It's been tough. There's stuff that's going on in my head, and I'm sifting through it right now. And sometimes it gets all jumbled. You know, I think where I'm at is I've been lacking focus, and I have races on my calendar, and I think those are nice goals, but that's not a focus. You know, that's not like kind of where am I going right now? And that's been interesting to try to wrap my head around. And I've really been thinking a lot about how do I, so I'm going to answer you honestly. And this has been messing with my head, is like, how do I really work to try to be more like the people I like being around? In other words, how do I be somebody that I want to be around? Because I don't always like I don't always like me, if that makes sense. Totally. And there's people I'm around who are just so kind and loving and just amazing, beautiful people. And I'm like, how can I just be more like them? You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's what's going on in my head lately. I don't like it. I want to be someone.
You're surrounding yourself with good people, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, right?
I feel so lucky. I feel so lucky every single day. And I'm like, man, how do I make sure that I'm like showing up for them too, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes what I always think about along the lines of what you're saying, Grace, is like, everybody has problems and issues in their life. And what we see, what I see, you know, I'm thinking of trail runners and close friends and stuff, but it's still only the outer shell of what you see when you hang, you know, if you're hanging out with people and even friends. I mean, yeah, you can be really close with friends, but they still have, there still might be things that you don't know about them or struggles they're going through.
So yeah, like I relate to what you're saying, because you're like, when I see you, I want to be more like you. You're always happy. You know, to me, you're always happy.
Yeah.
So, but doesn't mean you're always happy in every aspect of your life.
Right.
So
I like to be happy for other people. I think that's good. You know,
that is good until it becomes like everybody, you know, you're making me feel like you are always that person when it's okay that you're not, you know?
Yeah. 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 I'm not always happy. Yesterday was a crappy day. Today's better though. It's one day at a time, you know, it always is. Thanks for asking that, Kim. And I got to throw this in here. Jason Karpinski just said, I just applied to the ambassador program. Really love the mission behind it and what they can do for the communities. We're already inspiring. This is exactly what I was hoping for.
Awesome.
You know, honestly, I think James Hughes is such a kind person. And I think we got to have him for a little longer because of the trail and because of the people around him, people like Jess. I think he got to be around a little bit longer. And that was a really good thing. And, you know, I think the best that we can do from here is see how we can help others, you know, and show up for other people. That's the best we can ask for. Mm. So, speaking of showing up for other people, there is so much happening in 2025, Kim. And every time I turn around, somebody on some Facebook group, especially there's a couple of women's groups that we're both in, and somebody is saying, I'm looking for a fun 100-miler that's not too flat, not too technical, but it's going to be a lot of fun and it has a big enough cutoff. And I usually answer with two things, and that's either Woodstock or Wild Goose. Goose being one of your races, because it's so well done. It's such a good race. And I was there the inaugural year, so I imagine it's just getting better and better every year. And your whole lineup, you have a whole lineup of trail parties throughout the year. I think they're fabulous. I wish I had the time and the gas money to drive up for every single one of them. But I don't like the Squatchy Onesie Fest. I mean, some ridiculous trail parties that you have. And I think that's a great way that we can spread some love and some cheer and show up for others. You know, I think the best way, one of the fun ways to go to a trail party is to grab a buddy, make it a road trip. You show up to a trail party, you have a good time, and then you road trip back home. I love carpooling with friends. So can you tell us about the lineup of trail parties that you have on the docket for 2025?
Yeah, we've got quite a few in line. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a couple of them. The Onesie Fest is in February, which that race, like a lot of them, you know, the idea started as a joke, like, oh, we should tell people to wear a onesie at a race and see what happens. And then there's the Onesie Fest 5K. Wow. So that one's pretty funny, because we'll have, you know, almost 200 people, mostly adults, show up in their onesies that are like planned with their friends, their matching onesies. And every year we've got a group of people that come from Long Island that are in those inflatable pig suits, like the really big pig inflatables.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, but yeah, that's the onesie race. But yeah, we have events ranging from 5K all the way up to the 100 is our longest, with the Wild Goose in September. But a lot of our events will offer a few different distances. So we're always trying to make it family friendly and all paces friendly. So I would say pretty much all of our races are hiker friendly, where we have really long cutoff time. So we want hikers to come out. You know, that's something that I've learned over the years through conversations with people on trail, where I'm out wearing a Sasquatch hat and they'll ask like, what is Sasquatch? And I'll explain it. And then they're hiking and they'll say, oh, I can't come. I'm not a runner. I can't do a trail race. And then I'll explain, like, you don't have to run. It's a trail party. You don't have to run. So it's been fun. Like, Sasquatch, I think, is we see a lot of newbies that come into the sport. So that's, it's just like great energy at the events where they're either first time trail runners, first time hikers, maybe they're coming over from the road. So it's really cool. And the Wild Goose has grown into, just a really fun event. And I mean, it's so much better when the weather's nice. Like we had really great this past year. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like everyone was floating. Like it was just, especially people who were there the previous year and knowing like it was just a monsoon. So we had great weather in September, but we put on the trail races. We do a lot of clinics. We're starting to do more clinics this year. So we're bringing in people, like we bring in a therapist to come and talk about mental health. We have a PT who's going to do a women's clinic on pelvic floor health, which is exciting. Rachel Bambrick with Women in Ultra Running down in Philly, she's going to come and do a clinic. So, you know, talking about crewing and pacing and just trying to think about things that new runners are, you know, they have questions about. So maybe stuff that we've, you know, you and I, we've been in the sport a long time. You're not really thinking about like, maybe I should put lube on and like, what is lube? And like talking about those things in clinics. So, that's kind of Sasquatch in a nutshell. So the mission is to welcome all peoples, paces, and ages. That's our mission statement.
That's awesome.
You know, I especially appreciate a longer cutoff because I've had this problem before, this challenge before where I've said, oh, that's too bad that, you know, the whatever distance, whether it's a 50K or something like that, like I can't do that because the cutoff is too tight for me. And then somebody will say, we'll just do the 25K. And then I'm like, I don't want to do the 25K. I want to do the 50K. I want to do the longer distance. I just need more time. So I appreciate that. I do like having the shorter distance options, but it's not just that when you're trying to be inclusive of different paces is also setting the cutoffs for longer distances, because crazy people like me, I will be out there for 36 hours and I'm fine with that. Just give me enough time and I'll get it done.
Totally. And like the worst thing too, I know, cause I'm mid back of the pack, like the worst thing is chasing cutoffs. So that was one of the big goals with Wild Goose. I said to my team, like we're going to have two cutoffs. We'll have the cutoff at the end, 36 hours, and then only one for your last loop. So then we know like, all right, you got to make this one. So we know you're going to finish in time. But otherwise it's just stressful. Like it's a horrible feeling to be spending the whole race doing math about like, what pace do I have to go in order to make this cutoff? And if I don't make it, how am I going to get back to my car? And then I got to change like hotels and, you know, it's just stressful. Yeah. So yeah, I'm all about the long cutoff times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, each race to its own, there's other races where that's kind of the theme of the race is a harsh cutoff, and that's fine. But you know, it's great to have that option with another race where there are less cutoffs, longer cutoffs, different distances, kind of a little bit of everything mixed in there.
Especially like it, not only for people that are always worried about cutoffs that are seasoned veterans of ultra running, but it's perfect for first time 100 miler. Somebody wants to do a first 100 miler just to have that one less thing to worry about. And not only that, but they have a better chance of completing it, which gives them more confidence in the future.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like the way to get confident with longer distance is just to do the longer distance. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can get cut off at 100K or 50 miles, but you really don't get that feeling of what it's like to be at 70, 80, 90 miles. And it doesn't matter if you do it in 24 hours or 20 hours, it still sucks when you do it in 36 hours, that, you know, the lows and things like that. So you still get to experience that.
Exactly. Did I tell you this from when I did Stone Mill 50 milers, a lollipop. And when I went, when I began the race, like first off my research, I looked at John Schaefer's, his Strava, and I knew it was a little over 51 miles. It wasn't 50 miles. So when I figured out my pacing strategy, I knew I had to be a little bit faster. And it was a lollipop. So when I went out on the lollipop stick, I paid attention to when the course split and what mileage that was. And I made note of it. So then when I got all the way done with the, it was a big long loop, and then you get back to the stick, and there was this woman behind me, and she was pacing behind me. She's like, I really like your pace. I'm like, yeah, cool. We're going to do this. And she's like, by chance, do you know how many more miles we have to the finish? And I was like, yeah, from here we have, like, I knew it. It was like 3.2. And I was like, yep, from right here, we have 3.2. And she had said, she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I am pretty sure it's 3.2 from here. And we got to the next kind of marker in my head. I'm like, okay, from here we have 2.5. And then, and she's like, okay, because I'm over on my watch. I'm like, yeah, the course is over. And then we got to the road and the guy said we had a little over a mile. And I had told her right before that, I'm like, once we get to the road, we have a little over a mile. So when he said that, and then she was behind me, she's like, wow, you were spot on. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a professional backpacker. This is this is what I do.
It's a skill. It's a skill.
I pay attention. You have, there's a whole strategy to being totally in the back of the pack.
Totally. Maximize those cutoffs for sure.
Yeah. you gotta have these markers.
Yeah, we also have a lot. Totally. We also have a lot of elder squatches, I call them, the senior squatch crowd that comes out to the events. Nice. You were with some of them at the back of the pack for the Wild Goose. Mm-hmm. But that's been something we added the last couple of years, is that you can have a pacer if you're 60 years old or older. You can have a pacer at any time. So starting at mile one, you can bring a pacer with you. And then for the Wild Goose, we're changing this for 2025, is at sunset. If you're on the course at sunset, this is for any of our events, actually. If you're on the course at sunset, any of our events, you can have a pacer with you. Wow. Because that was huge feedback that we heard the last 2 years, was the bear situation at Wayweyanda. They are out and about and possibly falling out of trees in the middle of the race.
Drop bear. We call it the drop bear.
Uh-huh. So we're always looking for things. A lot of it's feedback from runners that we hear, you know, if we can implement it to make, you know, the event more accessible, we're going to do it. So that was, mm-hmm. you know, adding those pacers in has been really helpful for a lot of people.
Oh yeah. I think it's a great addition. It's just options, you know, it's just putting those options in there if you're able to.
Totally.
Now, you also provide some unique discounts for your races. Can you talk about the family discount and emergency services?
Yeah. Again, that was feedback I got from runners with the family discount. This was probably the first year back in 2018 where I was talking with a family and they were saying, you know, we love coming to your races, but, you know, we've got four mm-hmm. kids and it's like going to the movie theater where the costs really add up. And I heard that, and I thought, yeah, like that makes a lot of sense. Like, let's offer a discount. So now we do, if you're registering three or more squatches in your household, you can get a discount. And then we always do 20% off for military veterans and frontline workers and teachers. So we expanded that during the pandemic for teachers and frontline workers, and awesome. Have definitely just kept that because they all need a break. So any of our events, if you're falling into one of those categories, you can get 20% off. But yeah, we have a lot of other discounts. You know, a lot of like running clubs will offer discounts too. So if you're listening to this, you got a club, reach out. We'll set something up for you. But like members of the Trail Conference and other conservancy groups, we're just trying to give back mm-hmm. to them to get out to the events.
Oh, I think it's great. It is one that I don't see very often in trail. We have this with our York Road Runners Club, is that family discount with our winter series, because like you said, we'll have, you know, the mom runs, the dad runs, or the, you know, the two spouses run, and like they're four kids, and we have 1-milers too. So we want the kids to get involved. So we just have these family discount plans, which is just incredibly helpful for those families. And we do have some where the two parents and then they'll have five kids and all of them are running. Yeah. And like, we would love seeing love that amount of participation. I think it's awesome. You can bring the whole family, because otherwise if two of the kids aren't running, what are you going to do with them? Yeah. So
totally. Yeah, totally.
I love seeing that in trail. I'd love to, I think seeing some more of those options in trail is, that would be a really good thing moving forward, you know? So it's cool that you're able to do it. Not every race is able to do it. You know, there's different formats with every race, especially with pricing. So it's that's a cool one that I want to make sure that we threw out there.
Awesome. Yeah. Happy to do it. Happy to give back to those folks.
So do you run any of your races?
I do not. No, I do not participate. There's a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, that some of these guys, they run. Craig runs his races. John runs his races.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how they do it.
What is on your, and not to change the subject, but what is on your race schedule for this year? Or I should say run schedule. Do you have any FKTs you're willing to spill the beans on that you're going to attempt, or races?
That's a great question. I'm not eyeing anything up other than Manitou's Revenge has been on my bucket list for a long time. Yeah. And for a number of years, we've always had a Sasquatch race the same weekend. And then last year was the first year we didn't, but I was crewing a friend at Tahoe 200. And this year it's open. So I'm just putting a lot of thought into it because it's a big commitment, like the training aspect of that. And the race is just, soul crushing. So, I've done the course, but in the middle of the Long Path FKT, because the course is the long path through the Catskills. So it would be interesting to do it not in the FKT setting where it was like miles, I don't know what it was, 150 to 200 or something of 350. So it'd be interesting to just do it as like a standalone event. Yeah. And I mean, it's magical. I was out there last summer volunteering, and I'm good friends with, you know, the guys that put it on and all that. So, so maybe we'll see. I want to put some time into it. I think registration is in February or January, February. So,
okay.
Nice. Yeah. That's a big one. It's on my list too. I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
Yeah. It looks awesome. I would love to, at some point, I'd love to go back and do the Catskills section of the long path as the FKT. There hasn't been a female to do that yet. And that was my favorite part of the whole long path. But again, that's like, it's a huge project. So, we'll see, probably not this year, but maybe in the next couple of years, it'd be cool to go back and do that.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And you have some other, little things here and there going on. So you also have a documentary coming out next winter. Is that right?
Yeah, this coming winter. So the filmmaker Shai Bendur, he is nearing the end, I'm told, every couple of weeks. He's like, I'm getting closer. So he has finished a trailer, which is kind of long. It's about 5 minutes. And nice. We did our first public screening of the trailer at a trail running conference in Knoxville in October. Nice. And that was quite the experience. It was emotional to see it. Mm. I mean, I saw parts of it, but I didn't see it all put together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about the documentary, but also a little terrified, to be honest. It's very, you know, a lot happened out there, and the documentary is focusing on mental health. So it's a very, it's pretty raw. So, and I also don't know what to expect because I haven't seen it yet. So it'll be interesting once it comes out. We're hopefully going to do like a really cool screening for the Sasquatch community and whenever it does come out in the winter. So we'll see.
I think it's really exciting, but yeah, it's a very personal thing to go through. I think FKTs are personal. There's a lot that happens out there over such a long, after so many days. To this day, though, one of my favorite documentaries is Finding Traction.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah, it's
Nikki Kimball.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. It just, yeah. If I want some inspiration, I throw that bad boy on. So I think this one's probably going to go on the shelf in my brain right next to Nikki Kimball's. I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very, it's intimate when you're out there, especially if it's in the supported fashion where you have friends who are involved.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that part of it too. Cause like, you know, my experience was just my perspective of like suffering, essentially. I mean, there's some joy, but it was a lot of hard stuff. But it'll be, I'm excited to see like the behind the scenes stuff because, you know, the crew, it was an FKT of their own. It was insane out there, all the challenges that came up.
Yeah. They have their own whole experience that they go through.
Yes. Totally. Totally.
Throughout the course of it.
Totally. And you know, like these efforts, they don't happen without the support of so many people. So I'm excited just to see the film kind of capture that spirit of community, you know?
Yeah. That's super exciting. And you also have, you have a podcast. Do you do regular episodes? You just kind of pop in.
I know the podcast is so inconsistent. It's a passion project. It's not like,
okay.
It's not a revenue stream coming in for Sasquad, but
yeah,
I know it ebbs and flows. I started up in like probably everybody and their mom did with the pandemic of starting a podcast, and it still is. It's so fun to just talk with talk with community members. So it's incredibly inconsistent, but when it does happen, it's a lot of fun. I'm actually sitting on, I have like 5 post-it notes that say, post the podcast, I have like 4 episodes that I've recorded. And I just haven't published them. Cause you know, it's time consuming to do all that. And there's other priorities, but yes, the podcast is available. If you aren't like type A and need something every week, you should tune in to Sasquatch.
I just want to make sure, like, is it just me? Like, does this happen on a regular basis and I just don't realize it? Or is it just not on a set schedule? Which is plenty of podcasts that are not on a set schedule. Okay. That makes more sense. I don't feel as bad now. So, okay. That is accurate. It is not on a set schedule. That's cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think you tackle some great topics, you know, similar to us. I think, you know, we try to just open it up to whatever's happening, whatever pops into our little brains, and we'll just talk about it. So I think you've got a pretty cool thing going in that regard, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. It's especially nice for me as a race director because, you know, I meet so many people throughout the year, like thousands of people. And a lot of the relationships are like, we see each other at the race and you exchange a couple words because it's just crazy at the race. And you don't always get to learn everybody's story. So the podcast has been, I mean, selfishly, I love doing it because I get to learn so much like people's life stories when they come on. And I learn so much about people that, you know, I had no idea, you know, their backstory or what they've overcome. I mean, you guys have probably experienced it every podcast, I'm sure, where you just learn about people's life experiences through the recordings. So it's cool.
I'm still learning about Eric. I'm still trying to figure him out.
Me too, Grace. Me too.
One of these
There's a
days.
Lot to unpack in there, Grace. A lot to unpack.
There is. All right. Do you have any fun holiday challenges that you're hosting or participating in, Kim?
Holiday challenges?
There's all kinds of stuff happening. There's the 12 Days of Yeti. There's like eggnog runs. Okay. There's all kinds of stuff.
I got you. Yes, I am participating in one. It's called Move Through the Darkness. And it is hosted by a race director out in Colorado who I met at that trail running conference. So, actually very timely with this podcast. So it focuses on basically just movement and mental health. So every week they'll bring on a guest for their live stream that's talking about some facet of mental health. So it starts in December and I love the challenge because it doesn't have to be running. It can just be movement. I started a Sasquatch team. So people in our community, you know, it's a free challenge to take part of. And then you just log your hours that you put in. Then each week there's the speaker that comes on. And Mandy, the race director, invited me to show the trailer and the filmmaker to come on and talk. So we're going to do that in January, which is also why I got plugged in. So that's been cool. That's been a cool experience so far.
Oh, that's a great way to get through the holidays. Eric, do you have something fun around the holidays? You have your streak that you do.
Yeah, just the streak from Thanksgiving Day through New Year's Day. That's just a fun. I mean, that's how that Facebook group got started.
Yeah, been going on 8-9 years.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'd have to try to figure that out, how old that is. But yeah, it's just a laid back thing, but keeps people motivated and gets people started to, like you said, just get outside and move. That's a walk run challenge.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yep.
I like it.
Kim, what are you doing this weekend? Doing something? Yeah, Grace, what are you doing? Are you doing a challenge?
Yeah, I always do a couple of fun things. I'm doing 12 Days of Yeti. I did that last year. I'm doing it again. That's Jason Green does that. It's super fun. And I like participating. Around the holidays, there's always like some extra holiday group runs. Scott Newcomer does a holiday light run, so I like joining in that. There was one that I did last week through the York Roadrunners Club. I have a 3-mile walk that we do around my neighborhood, and we look at all the lights. And there's one house in particular that is just spectacular, and so we kind of end. That one's towards the end of the walk, so we're going to do that one next Monday. Yeah, that'll be nice.
Nice. What else?
Well, this weekend. Kim, what are you doing this weekend? What's your plans?
This weekend, we've got a little 5K we're doing. We're calling it the Squatchy Solstice 5K.
Nice.
So just at a local park that's on Saturday. Small event. And I was going to show you, I just adopted a little kitten. And so he's been occupying some fun time. And now he's about to get the zoomies. He's running around, but so race directing and hanging out at home and all that. So a lot of race prep this week leading into the event.
Awesome. Now, I know you also have the squat shop. Does the squat shop open back up after the holidays?
Yeah, the squat shop. I know. So I've had it closed for the last few weeks because I couldn't keep up with it. We had the really big event in Thanksgiving weekend. And I knew I had to shut it down when I put the labels on the wrong packages and somebody got this like ornament for this like really weird. I get a lot of like weird orders from runners of like, I don't know, like weird hot sauce chili challenges of like, I didn't barf in the 5K. Like that's what's on. So that was sent out to somebody who ordered this like Wheel of Fortune ornament. And then that's when I knew, I'm like, okay, you are maxed out here. You got to shut this down. So I just opened it up. I think I'm going to open it until the Christmas rush is done and then probably close it down. Cause it's just really busy with the, cause I do all the medals and the buckles for our events, which is, you know, it's enough. It does. I don't need to keep doing all the things. Time management. I'm working on that.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day about something. They were like, oh, you could. No. It wasn't for me. They were commenting on my blanket skirt that I got from Callie.
Oh, yeah. And, that's so cool.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. And they were like, oh, she could sell those and open up a shop. I'm like, I don't know that she needs another job. Like,
exactly. Right. It's too much stuff. It's too busy. Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to just have the thing and then just be done and not open it up to the world. But
totally.
I do appreciate that my belt buckle from Wild Goose was handmade by the race director. I just want to throw that out there for everybody. It's so cool.
Thanks, Grace. It's probably my favorite part of the squat shop throughout the whole year is making those buckles and watching the runners choose them at the end when they're like delirious, but it's such an important moment. And I know how that feels when you're like choosing a buckle. It's so special to watch people. And this year we had a lot of families come out. So it was so cool. A bunch of the people who were running, they had their kids, you know, run across the finish line, which is great. But then they said, like, I want you to pick out my buckle. So these kids were picking out. Oh, just melted my squatchy heart. It was really sweet.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
It was awesome.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun this weekend. It is the solstice is coming up. That means Christmas is going to be just behind that holiday. Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
Nothing really planned. I don't think I'm running something.
Nothing.
I don't think I have anything set yet. What about you?
Mason-Dixon shortest day. I have never done Mason-Dixon shortest day. I've done the longest day, which is on the summer solstice. And, I did a couple miles 1 year, that was on the same day as shortest day, but it's just with a friend. But I've never actually attempted it. I think I'm not going to do the full distance. The full distance is like 35 miles. And the challenge is to complete the whole section between sunrise and sunset. So I think I'm going to do like the next shortest distance is like 28 miles, something like that. It's all fat ass anyway. So you just kind of make it up as you go. So I think me and a friend, we're probably just going to do some miles for Mason-Dixon shortest day. And it's a cool little event that, that the Trail Dogs put on. So
that'll be
fun. Yeah.
Cool. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kim.
Oh man, this was so fun. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate the conversation and such an important one too with mental health. It's really neat that you guys provided those resources for your listeners. It's very cool.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Kim. I feel like we could do this for 5 more weeks and still not run out of things because we just scratched the surface on a couple of things happening in your world. And I hope we can have you on again so we can talk about that stuff. So it was so, so great to finally have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
I really, really look up to all the stuff that you're doing. I think it's amazing. And everybody should go to a trail party if they are able to go to a trail party. I'm telling you, they're super fun. So thanks for coming on the show.
Awesome. And that's not a paid ad, by the way. I did not pay Grace to say all these.
Not a paid ad at all. As a race director for like teeny tiny, like kind of races, like what you're pulling off is just huge. And it's really, really impressive. So nicely done. It makes me feel good that newbie trail runners are going to have a great experience because that first trail race that you do can really set the tone, I think, for every other trail race and maybe be the determining factor in whether somebody gets into the sport or not. So I think that's, for me, just so, so, so important. And I appreciate that.
Thanks, Grace. Appreciate you sharing all that. Thank you.
Grace, Secret Santa is next week?
Yes.
All right.
Secret Santa is next week. Holiday show. And then after that, and I'm going to be putting out the category soon. We're going to be talking about the end of the year. We got to talk about Idiot of the Year. We got to talk about, the Performance of the Year. We got to talk about greatest race photo of the year, best crew, best pacer.
The best co-host of the running mullet. We got to figure that out.
Best co-host of the running mullet. Best of Eric's rhymes.
Yeah, all the stuff.
There's a lot. There's a lot to discuss coming up. So we're going to have our holiday show. We'll have our best of show. And then before we know it, it's going to be our 100th episode.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
All right. Tell all the people what they need to know.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you feed that algorithm monster who loves likes and shares and comments and reviews and like it and share it and review it and do all the things, then you can share that love with other cool people, and other cool people will share it with other cool people, and the next thing you know, it's a bunch of cool people and sunshine. That's it.
Perfect. All right, thanks again, Kim. You guys have a wonderful night, and thanks everybody for tuning in.
Okay, thanks everybody. See you later. Bye.